Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. Some people believe the perfect way to spend a hot, humid summer day is inside an air-conditioned movie theater. You can travel into another world from the comfort of an oversized armchair with popcorn in your lap. And if you choose to take in a movie at the Wexner Center for the Arts on Ohio State's campus this summer, you will have Italy on your mind. Joining us for the first segment of today's show is Wexner Center curator Dave Phillippe. Thanks for being here, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
And later in the hour, we will talk with the other papers, George Wolfe and Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive, about blockbusters in the theaters for the rest of the summer. But first, let's travel to Italy with the Wexner Center for Cinema Italiano. So, Dave, what made you decide to do an Italian-themed summer movie series?
Well, two things. In the summer, we try to do something that's a little bit more accessible to a wider audience. And so the themes that we usually choose in the summer are a little bit broader. And we've done something called A Summer Abroad twice in the past, usually just kind of a grab bag of foreign classics. And it's always proven to be, you know, very successful. And so we were going to do the same thing again this year. And at first, we were going to group it around cities, like doing maybe a different city each night with films that take place in that city. And then around the same time, one of my colleagues at the Wexner Center for years has been saying, why don't you show more Italian films? And then at just the right time, this is kind of a confession. my fiance she's an Italian film scholar at OSU, and we were having this ongoing argument. Like, she was number one. It started by her saying, why don't you show more Italian films? And I was like saying, there really haven't been that many good new Italian films recently.
And she said, wrong.
Right. And so this kind of makes two people happy, and everything just started to fall. And there just happened to be two really good new Italian films this summer. And then we just kind of filled it out with, Italian classics. And, you know, it still is the Summer Abroad theme, just focusing on Italy.
And we'll get put into the Italian mood a little bit. Just let's hear a song from the Wexner Center's, one of the movies the Wexner Center is featuring. It's The Talented Mr. Ripley. So that's just a little bit of an Italian song from The Talented Mr. Ripley, and the movie gets a little darker and a little creepier after that scene.
A lot darker.
A lot darker and a lot creepier after that. But The Talented Mr. Ripley is set in Italy, and you're showing it as a part of your Wex drive-in series, where you don't actually drive, but you sit outside.
Right. The first one was in June. We showed The Life Aquatic, the Wes Anderson film, which is also shot entirely in Italy. And then we thought we'd continue. People that have been following our films know that we do the Wex drive-in during the summer, these outdoor screenings, free admission, free Jenny's ice cream, free Pam's popcorn, beer, not free, but there. And we decided to carry the Italian theme outside, and we picked three American films that were set entirely in Italy to kind of continue the theme. And as you said, the next one is The Talented Mr. Ripley, which is next Thursday.
Next Thursday. So that's I forgot, July 15th. Next Thursday, July 15th, is The Talented Mr. Ripley. So if it's a nice evening, it just starts kind of at dusk, which is 9.
At dusk. I mean, people start to gather usually around 8, both to eat and drink, but to get a good seat. And if it should happen to rain, this year we're going to have a rain date the very next night, same time. People can just look at our website, wexarts.org, for more information, should the weather be threatening.
And I know these are very popular. I saw just a photograph of The Life Aquatic from last month, and it was really crowded.
That was our biggest one ever. I think we had something like 1,100 people. And now we're even getting to the point, like, how many is too many? It is a bit of a confined space, but we're not quite there yet, but it's close.
Well, you found a niche market that people like. 614-292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Dave from the Wexner Center will be here for just about 10 more minutes. So if you have a question about the Wexner Center summer movie series, Cinema Italiano, get your call in now, 614-292-8513. So starting this weekend, tonight, actually, you're showing a movie called Mid-August Lunch. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a new release. It's one of the co-screenwriters is one of the co-screenwriters of the film Gomorrah, which was an art house hit last year. And it's about a man in his 50s who's running into problems with his landlord. And in order to settle the debt, the landlord asks him, will you take care of my mother? And this guy also is taking care of his homebound mother. And when the landlord shows up with his mother, he also brings his mother's sister. And then eventually this guy's saddled with another old woman. And so he has like these three elderly women in his care. And they, you know, they all have their different issues and they all, you know, have to kind of figure out how they're going to all exist together in the space. And some of them have health problems and dietary issues. And but the film that's really it's shot almost like a documentary. It's not, you know, kind of sappy or it doesn't, you know, go for the easy laughs. It's kind of a straightforward production or style of shooting. But what's great about it, you just don't see very many films that are intelligently made films kind of aimed at, you know, older people. I mean, every once in a while you'll have a comedy with, you know, Shirley MacLaine and Diane Keaton or something in there, yeah. You know. But this is really an intelligently made film that just happens to be about older people. And if you're kind of listening and, you know, thinking that there just aren't films for me like that, I would really urge you to check this one out. It's tonight and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Wexner Center.
So it's a smart made. Is it a comedy or is it drama?
There are definitely, okay, you know, funny moments in it, especially as the ladies kind of
establish a middle-aged
pecking
man,
order.
Yeah, yeah, taking care of three or four elderly women.
One
probably
of the women
funny,
starts
yeah.
to kind of hit on the guy. And so there are definitely moments of humor, but it's also a wonderful film about food. At a certain point, they begin preparing for this feast. This guy's, you know, his money is already an issue, and now he has like three mouths to feed, and he goes out it's set in Rome, and he goes out to the river and catches the fish that he ends up preparing for. And it's becoming kind of a famous scene for foodies.
And there's just beautiful scenery if it's set in Rome.
It's Rome. That's
right.
Rome.
So when you were setting up the series, A Summer Abroad, Cinema Italiano, were you deciding for – you were looking for newer movies and then you wanted to mix in a few older movies? Or is it just – there? You said before there aren't very many new Italian movies, so you kind of just picked a couple and went
right.
with them.
I mean, there are – you know, I know time is a bit of an issue, but there – it's not that there aren't new Italian films, just mm-hmm. American distributors have not been picking them up. And it's kind of a long story, but basically there's a reason why there aren't very many kind of like films that would be good for the art house market in the U.S. And that's where the problem is. And it just so happens there are two actually there have been three this year. Vincere, which we showed at the Gateway a couple of weeks ago, which is a brilliant film. Mm-hmm. And then Mid-August Lunch. And then a film that we're showing July 16th and 17th, I Am Love with Tilda Swinton has been getting lots and lots of wonderful press.
That just came out in 2009, and I did watch. I was going to try to pull a clip from it, but all of these movies are in Italian, obviously, so that didn't quite work for the radio.
That's another one. That's going to be on so many people's 10 best lists at the end of the year.
What is I Am Love about?
I Am Love is it's about this rich family in Milan, and the wife of the kind of the middle-aged patriarch of the family is Tilda Swinton, and she's Russian, and she falls for the kind of working class friend of one of her sons, and their attraction is centers around both physical attraction but also this kind of the sensual pleasures of food, and basically their relationship causes, you know, as you can imagine, very disruptive ripples in the family order. I don't want to give too much away,
right.
But
Italians always bring it back to food somehow.
This is really a foodie film, yeah.
So that's called I Am Love, and it's July 16th and 17th.
Right.
At 7 at the Wexner Center. And then what we were talking about before was called Mid-August Lunch, which, again, involves food, which is tonight and tomorrow, the 9th and 10th at the Wexner Center. But you also picked a few old classic films that mm-hmm. people may have seen, probably have heard of, maybe have never seen.
Sure.
Next week you're showing Umberto D, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of the, you know, right at the top of the list of Italian neorealist films, Vittorio De Sica's Umberto D, and it's about an elderly man who's essentially kind of kicked out of where he's been living, and he has his little friend, his best friend in the world is this little cute dog, Flick, and I don't want to. I mean, I'm assuming most people have seen it, but I don't want to give it. The ending is just, you know, if you like dogs, and it's just a devastating, you know, ending. But it's one of those films. You know, you have to read Grapes of Wrath. You have to read Catcher in the Rye. You have to read or you have to see Umberto D. It's a extraordinary film.
So for the film buffs out there, that is Thursday, July 15th, Umberto D. So if you don't want to be outside at The Talented Mr. Ripley, you can
be
inside.
Well, actually, you can see both.
Oh, okay.
By the time Umberto D is over, you can go out, have a beer, and The Talented Mr. Ripley will be starting.
Well, that'll be a dark night for
people. Exactly.
Very dark night. Okay. So, and then can you just tell me another movie that you're excited about that's coming up this summer?
Well, the one I'm going to focus on, you know, they're all for the most part Italian classics,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of canonical Italian films. But the one that I actually had never heard of until I started looking at this film is this American film. Robert Mulligan, the guy that directed To Kill a Mockingbird, made this film Come September, which stars Rock Hudson, Gina Lollobrigida, Bobby Darin and Sandra Dee. And it's set in Italy. It's just beautiful, beautiful Italian scenery. But it's so funny. I had never heard of this film before, and it's every once in a while, apparently it pops up on AMC or something like that. But Rock Hudson plays this industrialist who only goes to his Italian villa in September.
Okay.
And for a variety of reasons, he decides to show up early. And when he gets there, he finds out his staff has been running it as a hotel for years while he's not there. And it's pure farce. You know, you can imagine some of the, you know, things that happen. The confusion when he shows up early and it's still being run as a hotel. And if you haven't seen it, it's Gina Lollobrigida has never looked sexier. It's really funny. And if you haven't seen it, I'll check it out.
Okay. So everyone can mark that on their calendars for August 13th and 14th.
At 9 o'clock. We're showing that one at 9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock. Yep. It's called Come September. And then one last movie before you leave us here for before we take a break that you're having your final Wex Drive-In movie is Roman Holiday. And we do have a clip from that. In this scene, Audrey Hepburn, the princess, tells Gregory Peck, a reporter, what she wants to do with her day of freedom.
I'd like to do just whatever I like the whole day long.
Things like having a haircut, eating gelato.
Yes, and I'd like to sit a sidewalk cafe and look in shop windows, walk in the rain, have fun, and maybe some excitement.
Tell you what, why don't we do all those things together?
But don't you have to work?
Work now. Today's going to be a holiday.
I'm just picturing a lot of people on dates with blankets and picnics sitting out watching Roman Holiday. Is that what you envision?
Yeah, it's a pretty romantic film. And it's funny, I was in Rome for the very first time earlier this year, and just how many tourists line up at some of the sites that are featured in Roman Holiday to kind of recreate the moments that they obviously know from
it's
the
amazing.
Film.
I mean,
yeah.
The movie was made in 1953, and people know about it and have at least seen a few select scenes
and
from it.
And when you go to the tourist, kiosks and whatnot, they have little postcards from Roman Holiday all over the place, and it's a beautiful classic film.
You can stand where Gregory Peck was standing, you know, all those years ago. So that Roman Holiday is showing Thursday, August 19th. Outdoors. Another Wex Drive-In movie. Well, thank you very much for being here
today, Dave.
And you're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. We've been talking about the summer movie series at the Wexner Center called A Summer Abroad Cinema Italiano. After the break, we're going to be joined by two local movie critics to talk about some films on the big screen, and we'll see what's worth your time and money. We'll be right back after a break on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On your morning commute, get the stories behind the headlines with Morning Edition.
In recent years, as many as 70,000 people have converged on Goodell Park for ComFest.
I think the more that we continue to tweak the programming, we'll get the crowd that we want, that is here for the purpose and not just the party.
Start your day with the award-winning WOSU news team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Showers and rain currently, 77 degrees. It's going to be a high around 80 with showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Showers and thunderstorms continue into the night with a low around 65. Tomorrow should be a little bit nicer. Clouds in the morning, but giving way to sunny skies in the afternoon, high around 85. And Sunday looking very nice. Plenty of sunshine with a high around 87. Thanks for tuning in this morning to All Sides. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. Now we're going to switch gears and talk about a few blockbusters opening this weekend and in the coming weeks. Joining me in the studio for our discussion is the other paper film critic, George Wolf. Thanks for being here, George.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Columbus Alive web producer and film critic, Brad Keefe. Thanks for being here, Brad.
Thanks, Amy.
And one movie getting a lot of attention, I'm sure people have seen dozens and dozens of commercials, is Despicable Me. Can you tell us a little bit? Actually, whenever I see the commercials for it, I really have no idea what it's about.
Yeah, I thought it kind of turned out to be something other than I expected. Basically, Steve Carell voices the evil villain Gru. And it turns into a battle between himself and his arch nemesis, Vector, who is voiced by Jason Segel. And then they throw in, they kind of take a left turn, and it becomes sort of an adoption. He adopts these three girls to aid his plan, but they end up, you know, how they're going to warm the old man's heart and everything like that. I was pretty underwhelmed by it myself.
Underwhelmed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear a quick scene from it. In this scene, supervillain Vector is talking to the three orphan girls who live with supervillain Gru.
Why are you wearing pajamas?
These aren't pajamas. It's a warm-up suit.
What are you warming up for?
Stuff.
What sort of stuff?
Super cool stuff you wouldn't understand.
Like sleeping?
They are not pajamas!
So obviously, it's supposed to be very funny. Brad, did you think it was funny? Did you like it?
I had a blast.
You had a blast. Yeah, okay, we have conflicting opinions. This is what I like. Brad, tell me why you liked Despicable Me.
It's really light. And I know everyone's seen sort of all the trailers revolved around the minions, the little yellow guys with the single eyes who kind of
with the funny voices.
And they're a blast, of course. But it's also a really kind of heartwarming movie without being saccharine. I kind of rank it as maybe the best non-Pixar computer animated movie.
Ooh,
I've seen.
Okay.
So I think George and I disagree pretty strongly.
Why were you underwhelmed?
It's not that it was
George.
That bad. I didn't think it was, for me, that funny. I did think it got a little sappy with the girls and the family element of it. Now, the kids are in the audience when I saw it. They were having a ball. I will say that. They really enjoyed those minions, the little yellow guys. But I just didn't think it was that funny for me. And I actually kind of left thinking, you know, nowadays, if you're going to have an animated film, to me, you really have to bring it, because there's some great animated films out there. And I didn't think it measured up to Toys. Well, Toy Story is Pixar, of course. But also How to Train Your Dragon, which I thought is one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. So I just thought of all the really great animated movies, you got to bring your A game. And I just didn't think it did.
Brad, do you feel it's one of those movies that's just geared toward kids, or can their parents have fun at it too?
No, it's, you know, Pixar's gotten really good at sort of hitting kids with something they don't dumb down for children, so it's fine for the adults. And this sort of hit that same tone with me. It is, I'll give you sappy. I grinned through most of it though. So.
Okay, so that's Despicable Me, and it opens today, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So are we thinking that maybe it's going to bump Toy Story out of the top three at the box office charts? Because last weekend, Twilight, of course, was number one. And then The Last Airbender was number two. And then Toy Story was number three. Are we thinking Despicable Me is going to bump something out there?
Yeah. Well, it's obviously going to take a lot of the Toy Story audience. They're geared toward each other. You know, Toy Story's had a couple weeks. It's good. Yeah. It's a movie worth seeing. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about Toy Story. I am more than happy to talk about Toy Story, even though it's four weeks old now,
yeah.
Or something like that. We can talk about Toy Story 3. I loved it.
I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, it's probably the best movie this summer so far.
Toy Story 3, okay. So The Last Airbender was a movie that that was number two at the box office last week. It has been getting a lot of publicity. Everyone has been talking about it, but I have not heard
good things. And George, you did not see it, right?
I did not see it. Okay. The critic that reviewed it for the other paper, I think, gave it 3 stars out of 5. So kind of,
kind of okay.
All right.
But Brad, you saw The Last Airbender, right?
I did.
And what did you think?
It's pretty awful.
Pretty awful.
It's pretty awful. Critics are piling on it really hard. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was quite that bad, but M. Night Shyamalan is not great with storytelling. There's a lot of exposition in it. It's a very talky movie. Some of the visuals are fun to watch. I sort of felt, you know, maybe the 12-year-old boy in me would have enjoyed the young hero and all the martial arts, but it's really interminable to watch. It's long and painful.
All right. So we're going to have – if someone out in the audience wants to defend The Last Airbender, they're going to have to give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can send an email to allsides@wosu.org, or you can ask our panel a question about any movie coming out this summer or a movie coming out this weekend, maybe something that's been in theaters that you've been thinking, maybe I should see that before it moves out of the theaters. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And did either of you see Twilight? I wanted to get Twilight out of the way.
Yes.
But did yes?
No, I managed to avoid Twilight.
You did?
Yes.
Wow.
Thankfully.
Yes.
Well, George, how was Twilight?
You know, it wasn't good, and I've seen all three, and I never read the books, so I really wasn't into it. But you could go on and on about the problems with it, and I know the people that love them, the Twihards, you know, they love it, and I don't want to take anything away from it. You love it. But I think what it really boils down to for me is the entire movie, you're just – in all three of the movies, you're battered about the head with how special this girl is, Bella, the character Bella.
Mm-hmm.
Yet in the movies, she's the least interesting person on the screen. And in the books, maybe that works because the reader can imagine I'm this person, I'm special. There's nothing special about her, and it doesn't work just for that very basic reason. There's other reasons too, but for me, that's the basic one. She's blah. And these people just, oh, my life is complete, you know, with you because you're so special and you don't see it.
Yeah. Well, most of the focus is, you know, whenever you hear people talk about it, is not on Bella at all. It's on the other two guys, which
right.
team you're on, and
right.
The shirts always off and the body glitter and just those type of things.
I will say they do have a couple of funny lines. The one who does wear shirts says, "Don't you own a shirt?" to the other guy, which it was actually pretty funny, making fun of themselves. But yeah, it's not very good.
Well, it's making a lot of money, of course. So there's that. And we still have 2 more of them coming out, right? Are there two more?
Yeah, 2 more. And actually, I did think they made an upgrade with this one because they got a better director, David Slade, who did Hard Candy. Which is very good. And he also did a vampire movie called 30 Days of Night. And he does handle the battle scenes when they finally get to some action with vampires and werewolves. It's handled pretty well. It's just there's not enough of it. So little happens, just like he mentioned about the other one. It's so talkative. Come on. Let's get to something. When they do, he handles it pretty well. So, the problem is all the movies, and I believe the next 2 as well, are still going to be written by the same screenwriter, and you're shackled with that source material. Mm-hmm. And this director, who's pretty good, did as good a job as he could with it, I thought. But boy, the scripts are what hampers it.
When you review something like that, something like Twilight that you know is going to be appealing to just a very niche group, and how do you review it? How do you give it stars? Because if you give it 2 stars, then people are mad. But if you give it 5 stars, everyone's like, "What's wrong with you?" You know?
Yeah. I think in that case, for me, I didn't read the books, but you really have to view it as a movie. You know, just take the books out of it. Even if I had read the books, how does it work on the screen? Which why I said that thing about I can see it working as a book where it doesn't. In the movie at all. But you know you're going to have those cult people and they're going to love it, whatever. Same with Sex and the City or anything like that. You just have to say what your opinion is. And actually, when we were sitting down to the screening, some people in the audience actually mentioned, said out loud, "We hated your last review." So, you know, it was in a nice way, but, you know, you deal with some of that.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. With me in the studio is the other paper film critic, George Wolf, and also Columbus Alive film critic, Brad Keefe. If you'd like to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or an email to allsides@wosu.org. What movies are you looking forward to? What movies do you want to ask our critics about? 614-292-8513. Another movie that's opening this weekend that I've heard a lot about is called The Kids Are All Right. And in this scene, Laser, who is the son in the movie, is talking to his 2 moms, and they're having a talk.
Laser, your mom and I sense that there's some other stuff going on in your life. We just want to be let in.
What do you mean?
Are you having a relationship with someone?
You can tell us, honey. We would understand and support you.
Look, I only met him once.
What do you mean, once?
Did he find you online?
Wait.
What?
Wait, who did you meet once?
Paul.
Paul, who's Paul?
I met him with Joni.
Why was Joni there?
She set it up.
Forget the setup. Who's Paul?
Our sperm donor. Did you guys think I was gay?
No. No way.
Well, of course not. That movie is called The Kids Are All Right, and the basic premise from what I know is that there's two kids, and their moms have used the same sperm donor for both of the kids, and the kids get older and decide they want to find who their biological, you know, father-type person is, and so they find him, and then he becomes kind of a part of the family. Have either of you guys seen this movie?
It hasn't screened for critics.
Oh, it didn't screen.
I
oh,
am
so you
excited
have to
see it.
Okay.
But
well, tell me why
it.
You're excited about it.
Well, the people that are involved, Annette Bening, Mark Ruffalo, and Julianne Moore, plus the writer-director, Lisa Koladenko, I think is how you pronounce it.
I think
name.
So.
Yeah. Has done Laurel Canyon. She did a movie years ago I enjoyed called High Art. And she's also done TV's work in The L Word, which I haven't seen. But anyway, it seems like a lot of talent involved there, and it seems like an interesting story. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And Mark Ruffalo, I think is probably one of the most underrated actors.
He's very good.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
But the movie, it's an important subject matter, but it doesn't look very heavy. The previews look really funny, really light. I think it should be a great movie.
Do you think it's one of those instances where they're showing all the funny scenes in the previews? Or hopefully not.
I hope not.
Yeah. The tone of it seems like they're going to nail it.
Okay. Well, and National Public Radio, any listeners to our station have heard NPR talking about it a lot. I think Fresh Air with Terry Gross just did a whole hour basically on this movie yesterday or the day before. So
wow.
I think it's really getting a lot of press. And so it opens today, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for people who maybe don't want to see Despicable Me, this is their other option. And we do have a call related to Twilight. So we're going to go back to Twilight for
go,
a minute. And here's Faith on the line. What's your comment or question, Faith?
I just wanted to agree with the gentleman who said that the movies are kind of slow and dull. I am a fan. I have read all the books. But I think he is correct when he said, you know, what's so special about Bella, because it kind of doesn't come off on screen well.
In the books, is Bella a much more realized character?
She really doesn't come alive really until the last two books. So she is kind of like, you know, she plays her well, because that's how she is in the books. But when on screen she becomes even more, she seems even more dull. So he was correct, I think.
Well, Faith, oh, George is very happy to say that because he said that he's correct.
I thought you were going
to
beat me up.
No.
So, but Faith, you're still going to go see all the movies, right?
Oh, I've seen them all, and I will have them all on DVD. I was there for the whole three movies in one. Yeah.
Well, are you Team Edward or are you Team Jacob?
Oh, I'm Team Jacob all the way.
Oh, that's a very good question. So there. All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, Faith. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we have Ryan on the line. Ryan, what's your comment?
I have a question for Brad, wanting to know if he was familiar with or had watched the Airbender cartoons prior to seeing the movie.
No, I had not. I have some friends who were very excited about it on that front. And their reports on it, they were about as disappointed as I was. I
mean, okay.
Something George mentioned, having not read the Twilight books, you know, we sometimes face this. We're not coming into it with the same experience as a lot of viewers are. So we're just sort of judging it based on, was it a good film?
Mm-hmm. Ryan, did you see The Last Airbender?
I've not seen the movie yet. My wife's a big fan of the cartoons. I've watched them sporadically with her, and she wants to go see the movie. So I didn't know if it was if you're a fan of the cartoons, if it's a better movie, or if it's just bad either way.
I think my friends who loved the cartoons were probably even more disappointed by it because they were more excited than I was.
Well, Ryan, here we have an email from a listener, and this might help you out a little bit. This listener says, I saw The Last Airbender and I didn't like it very much. As a fan of the cartoon, I was disappointed that they changed the characters' personalities so much. Without personalities, the movie has
become pretty boring. So that's from a listener to our show who says that it is really changed from the cartoon. So maybe just warn your wife, but you probably have to still go see it. Sorry.
I'll be drugged to it regardless.
There you go. You're going to have to see it. And then just give her that warning, though. Say, you know, you heard on the radio that they changed the personalities.
Well, I trust Brad's opinion, so
I'll
go with that. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you.
Had you heard that from your friends, that the character didn't have enough personality?
Yeah, it's just, I think, you know, they shared it. It's really a poorly made film.
So we had we still haven't had a real defender of The Last Airbender, so maybe there isn't one out there. But if you are, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And another movie that a lot of people are looking forward to next weekend. I know that both of you sent me emails saying you're really looking forward to Inception.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Inception. In this scene, Leonardo DiCaprio's character is talking to Ellen Page's character. She's the architect, and they're talking about how to build a dream.
You create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream, and they fill it with their subconscious.
How could I ever acquire enough detail to make them think that it's reality?
Well, dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something was actually strange. Let me ask you a question. You never really remember the beginning of a dream, do you? You always wind up right in the middle of what's going on.
I guess, yeah.
So how did we end up here?
Well, we just came from the
Think about it, Ariadne. How did you get here? Where are you right now?
We're dreaming.
And then after this discussion, like shortly after that sentence where she realizes she's dreaming, things begin to explode and fall apart all over the screen. But I couldn't, you know, have you see that on the radio. So basically, this is a movie where you don't really know exactly what it's about, but it looks really cool. I don't even know what else to say about it. But you both are excited about it.
Yeah, well, starting with the filmmaker Christopher Nolan, and he did, of course, The Dark Knight, but he also did Memento, which is a great movie that also plays with your mind in many ways that this one seems like it might do as well. So that's one of the reasons.
He's a filmmaker that I have so much faith in. I really don't know much about the movie. I don't know much more than you because I don't want to.
Right. Well, just for our audience's sake, it has something to do with Leonardo DiCaprio his character wants to build dreams and kind of change reality through building dreams.
Well, he's
Is
also,
that right?
I believe he's charged with getting into a certain person's dream and implanting an idea, either implanting or stealing an idea, one of the two. I think he works for a company that does this. I read the review in Rolling Stone, which I'm trying to remember from, they loved it, by the way. But yeah, I think it's about implanting ideas to make them work for you and his company, or stealing them, whichever works, I believe.
Okay. So really, I mean, even if I'm sitting in the room with two critics and don't really know what it's about, they're really keeping it secret. So it's one of those movies where even the trailer doesn't really give it away.
Yeah.
So besides the besides the director, are you excited about the actors in the movie too?
Oh yeah, I think Leonardo DiCaprio is usually very good, and Ellen Page can be good. I think the jury's kind of still out if she's a one-trick pony or not, but I think she can be good. So yeah, I think there seems to be a lot of talent all around.
And I've got a soft spot for Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh yeah,
500 Days of Summer
was
my top movie of last year, and he was fantastic in that. So they've got good support as well.
From just one or two clips I've seen, I think he's a little more mean in this one
than
500 Days of Summer. So a different side of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So that is Inception, and it opens next weekend, July 16th, I believe,
I think,
right?
So, yeah, because it screens either Monday or Tuesday.
It's Monday.
Monday night.
So it opens, yes, it opens Friday.
All right, so there will be reviews of it soon, and very excited critics here. You're listening to All Sides Weekend, and we're talking about the summer movie season. You can join the conversation by calling 614-292-8513 or send us an email to allsides@wosu.org. What movie are you looking forward to this summer, or do you want to ask our critics a question about a particular film? We'll be right back after this break. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Thank you.
A Single Man, the film about a closeted gay college professor grieving over the death of his significant other, is now out on DVD. On the next Fresh Air, we feature interviews with the star, Colin Firth, who was nominated for an Oscar for his performance, and fashion designer Tom Ford, who made his directing debut with the film. Join us.
Fresh Air is coming up today at noon here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for tuning in this morning. It's about 75 degrees right now with some light rain coming down here in Columbus. Showers and thunderstorms are expected throughout the day, high around 80. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms continue, low around 65. And tomorrow, we should expect some clouds in the morning, but sunny skies in the afternoon, a high around 85. If you're making plans for the weekend, make them for Sunday. Plenty of sunshine, high of 87. If you're hungry for more than just the headlines and short sound bites about our community, well, watch Columbus on the Record on WOSU-TV for in-depth, thoughtful, and balanced analysis of the issues and stories affecting Columbus and Central Ohio. And that's with WOSU News Director Mike Thompson. Watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. More movies, talking about movies with our All Sides Weekend host, Amy Jurevich, here on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. With me for our summer movie season discussion is Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive and the other paper's George Wolfe. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. So both of you sent me different movies that you're looking forward to that come out later in the summer. So, George, let's start with the movie that you're looking forward to. It's a movie called Other Guys, and we have a portion. This is a portion of the trailer, so it's a new movie coming out later in the summer starring Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, among others, The Other Guys.
I am a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
Pick another bird. Peacocks, they don't fly, Terry. They don't, do they?
Just let them have it, Captain.
The Other Guys.
Ah! How do they walk away in movies without flinching when it explodes behind them? There's no way! The movie industry is completely irresponsible for the way they portray explosions!
That is a portion of the trailer for Other Guys. That's a portion that I could play on the radio, I will tell you that. So The Other Guys, a comedy, and it opens August 6th. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's one that I should say I'm cautiously hopeful for,
okay,
because I'm hoping that it is very funny because Will Ferrell and his frequent collaborator Adam McKay are teaming up to do this one, and they can be very funny, but if I see this and it totally is stupid and not funny, I wouldn't be that shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hopeful, and I was laughing at that clip right there, and it's a case where
Other guys are good, kind of, well, they're cops, and they're portrayed in the trailer as good cops.
Yeah.
And there's some bad cops, too.
Yeah, they've got The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson now, and Samuel L. Jackson, who I believe is in every movie that ever comes out.
Well, so is The Rock.
And so you've got the competing cop duos. But I think that Will Ferrell can be extremely funny, has been in the past. So I'm just looking forward to maybe a lowbrow kind of very funny Anchorman-type movie. I'm hoping it's that funny. If it is, I'll be happy.
Well, so, as George said, Will Ferrell has been funny in the past.
Oh, yeah.
He's overdue. He's had some...
Land of the Lost, not so much.
Yes.
But, yeah,
It's been a while since we've had a really funny Will Ferrell movie, and I'm also cautiously optimistic that The Other Guys might be the one.
So in The Other Guys, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg are the other guys. They're this good cop team, right? So
yeah, as far as I understand, yeah.
All right. Well, that's The Other Guys, and so we'll have hope for that. It opens August 6th. And let's take a call. This is Harley. Harley, what's your comment or question?
Question is, I heard in the news today that Miramax has been sold by Disney to, I think, a real estate developer, maybe some varied other interests. But what do you think that'll have in terms of impacts of new films coming out?
So you're saying Miramax was sold to who? We at the table don't know about this.
Oh, okay. I offhand, I don't even know the guy's name, but Disney sold Miramax to someone out in L.A. So kind of wondered if they had any thoughts on it. But if you haven't heard the news yet.
No.
As a name, Miramax has kind of been on the decline from the past 5 or 6 years. You know, they used to sort of be front runners for best picture at the Oscars almost every
year.
Which
I guess is why they would sell it maybe then. I don't know. That's totally new news to me, yeah.
And, you know, since the Weinsteins left the studio,
right. It's
not been the same.
Exactly.
And I guess, according to Bloomberg News, a construction executive named Ronald Tudor is in discussions with the Walt Disney Company about the Miramax division. So this article says he's in discussions and has backquity from a private equity firm called Colony Capital. So negotiations are continuing around the clock. So we'll have to stay tuned, Harley.
All right. No. You kind of see it as maybe Miramax already over the hill.
Yeah, I mean they don't make the movies they used to. I'll still always remember them for Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you to list some Miramax movies to help orient
us. For Pulp Fiction alone, yeah, thumbs up to them.
Okay, so Harley, we'll stay tuned and see what happens to Miramax in the future. Thanks
Good.
For the call.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
So I guess we hadn't heard that, but what do you think that something like that would do? Disney selling off the division, is it maybe so they can focus more on something like Pixar?
Well, yeah, it seems to me like the old Disney standard way of operating, where they get rid of the rides every year that no one's going to. If, like you said, if it's been on the decline, maybe they just feel it's a lost leader and get rid of it.
All right, well, something to stay tuned to. But thanks for the information, Harley. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Brad, let's get to the movie that you are looking forward to and I guess have hope for later this summer. It's called Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and I do have a clip from that. Scott Pilgrim must defeat his new girlfriend's 7 evil ex-boyfriends in order to win her heart.
Mr. Pilgrim! I'm Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
What?
Wait, we're fighting over Ramona?
Didn't you get my email explaining the situation?
I skimmed it.
Mm-mm.
What was that all about?
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my 7 evil exes.
So what you're saying is we are dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
All right, so it's called Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and it opens August 13th, I believe. Yes, August 13th. What is this about, I guess? Defeating 7 evil ex-boyfriends.
Yes. Michael Cera plays essentially Michael Cera. He's been the same character in everything he's done. I know at some point I'm going to get tired of it, but it hasn't happened yet, so I'm fine with that. He's kind of the, meek everyman, finds a girl he falls in love with. She has this past, and it's from the makers of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. So it's two guys who are really good with sort of genre comedies, a little bit of parody. This has a lot of sort of video game elements.
Yeah, Michael Cera, from watching the trailer, he seemed like he was a video game character trying to get through different worlds. Defeating each boyfriend, I guess, is like defeating a world and moving on. I don't know.
Yeah, and you sort of realize, there's an entire generation sort of raised on video games. And this is maybe the first movie that really addresses that.
Okay. So Scott Pilgrim versus the World, it opens August 13th. So let's talk about a few things that you both reviewed this week that are in your respective papers. George, you reviewed, is it called Micmacs?
Micmacs.
Am I saying that right? Okay,
yeah.
So Micmacs. What is Micmacs about?
Well, it's first of all, it's by the, and I probably can't pronounce his name, French director who directed Amelie and Delicatessen. Very long engagement. He's very, very visual. And this is a movie. It's in French. It's subtitled. But it's really one I dare say you could follow along and enjoy without even reading the subtitles.
Really?
It really is very visual, has the feel of a silent movie. Basically, it's about a man who loses his father to a landmine when he was a boy. And then years later, when he grows up, he takes a stray bullet in the head. And the surgeons end up leaving it in there. And then through happenstance, he finds the two weaponry manufacturers that were responsible for the bullet and the landmine, and he sets about with a roving gang of scavengers, junk dealers that he falls in with, this elaborate Rube Goldberg-inspired plan to get them both back and little paybacks on both the weaponry firms. It's kind of a sweet revenge, not a bitter revenge. It's amusing and clever, not a laugh riot, but it's enough to keep you smiling. And like I said, you can probably follow along even if you don't follow the subtitles. And I thought it was charming. I really enjoyed it.
And, Brad, did you see?
I did.
What did you think?
The plot, as he described, sounds a little heavy, but it's really not. It's a really whimsical, fun movie.
Yep.
Very light, given the subject matter. And I didn't enjoy it quite as much as Amelie, but...
And they even throw in, he throws in a little bit of social commentary, since it is about weapons manufacturers. Not heavy. A little bit of that, and a little possible romance, too. So it's sweet. Whimsical is a good word.
Whimsical commentary about weapons manufacturers.
Exactly.
I think that's possible, yeah.
That's kind of funny. All right, and we have Bob on the line. Bob, what movie are you asking about?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, well, it's comments, sort of. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Saw the movie. I loved it. I've read all three books. I understand that two more movies are forthcoming, maybe yet this summer. And then if you could talk about that, but comment also, I heard they're planning to do American versions with American actors.
Yes.
So that's all.
Okay. Well, it's a little windy where you are, Bob, so I'm going to put you on hold, but thank you very much for your comment.
All right. Thank you.
We'll answer your questions here. So A Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I've heard a lot about this. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what did you think of the movie that Bob's referring to and then the future here?
Yeah. Loved it very much and looking forward to. I believe the second one comes out very soon.
The second one is actually opening Friday at the Drexel.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, your timing was perfect, Bob.
Is it a sequel?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm confused as to why there's a second one.
There's a trilogy book series.
Oh, okay.
I think
the third
George, I don't know. Again, I haven't read the books. This is sort of our theme for the day.
Yeah. It's the girl. I think the girl that kicked the hornet's nest is one of them.
And the girl that played with fire is
the second movie that's coming out.
Oh, I did see The Girl Who Played with Fire. I didn't realize it was associated with a girl with the dragon tattoo. Okay.
Yeah, so that's one I'm looking forward to. And I believe the caller's right. They are, unfortunately, doing planning an American version, which, boy, that always just was a red flag to me. Hopefully they won't ruin it. But
I think it's attached to David Fincher. So there's a talented director behind it. It's a great movie. It's one of those, if you can get over subtitles, it's something that people hang up on a lot.
Yeah. And it's a little rough. There's a scene or two that's a little rough, you know, so be ready for that. But yeah, it's worth seeing.
So maybe let's say a little bit about what A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo is about, just like theme-wise.
The lead character is kind of a hacker. It's a really complex – it's kind of fun to watch the story unfold. It involves an investigation into a murder and sort of everything converges in a way that they have sort of parallel stories that all come together.
Okay.
In a really fun way.
Yeah, one that you could probably tell, you don't want to give away.
I'm
being delicate because most of the joy in it comes in not knowing much.
Yeah.
Okay. And the American version, I think I've seen, at least I've read a couple articles where there's a lot of different famous, very famous actresses that are vying. They want to be the star of this and who's going to be the leading man and all of that. So is that what you're worried about, that maybe that'll ruin it?
I believe Bella herself has been considered for the lead role.
Boy, I hope not.
Back to Bella again. Everything is coming back to Twilight.
Well,
oh, no.
You know, he mentioned Michael Cera. Now, she's another one. Kristen Stewart. I mean, show some range. Do something else. She just is the same person in every movie. And
last I heard about 2 months ago, Kristen Stewart and Carey Mulligan were up for it.
Well, Carey Mulligan.
Carey Mulligan is a fantastic actress.
She's great.
And
she was nominated for an Oscar, right?
An education. She should have won.
Okay.
Okay. So we will stay tuned, I guess, for A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. And then we can head to the Drexel this weekend if we want to see.
Tentatively
slated for Friday at the Drexel.
Mm-hmm.
For today or next Friday?
Next Friday.
Oh, okay. Because today is Friday,
today
right?
Today is Friday.
Because this is All Sides Weekend, and you're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. We have just a few more minutes, 614-292-8513. I did want to talk about, Brad, you reviewed Cyrus in Columbus Alive this week. What is Cyrus about?
Cyrus is a comedy from a brother duo that did a really great indie movie about 5 years ago called The Puffy Chair. This was a big Sundance hit. It stars let's see.
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei.
Is Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
And John C. Reilly.
Thank you, George.
That's okay. It's hard to do it off the top of your head. There you go.
And John C. Reilly plays a kind of down on his luck divorcee who meets and falls in love with Marissa Tomei, kind of a storybook romance until he gets home. And she has a full-grown, very clingy Jonah Hill, a grown son.
Okay. Is Jonah Hill, like, living with her or
Jonah
something
Hill
like that?
Jonah Hill lives
okay.
with her.
I can imagine that.
They are uncomfortably close.
Oh, dear.
And Jonah Hill does not like anyone getting close to his mother.
Yeah, so he kind of sets the, you know, I'm nice to your face, but then I'm plotting to get rid of you. You know, in the background, and they have a little war going on, and it's quirky. It's filmed in a real style of these brothers. Shaky cameras, sometimes out of focus. You know, it's a real. I think they've dubbed their style mumblecore, at least for their independent work. But it's very very funny. That the lead actors are all great, and I enjoyed it too. Yeah,
I expected it to be funny, but it's a lot more poignant than I thought it would be.
It is.
It's a really kind of warm, fun film.
Yeah.
It's maybe not laugh a minute that you may expect. There really hasn't been that great comedy this summer that you just bust your sides at, but this is a really good movie.
Okay, and is that something that is probably not wide release? So do you have to maybe?
No,
is it?
I think it's exclusive at the AMC Lennox this week.
Okay, so Cyrus at the AMC Lennox. And before, when we were talking about Micmacs, I forgot to ask: is that a wide release, or do you know if that is?
I believe it's only at the Drexel.
That's, I think, right.
Yeah. I think it's only opening at the Drexel.
All right. Well, we have just 2 minutes left, so that gives 30 seconds to each of you. Is there any other movie out right now that's worth people's money or that's coming that people should wait for and hold on to their $9?
I can say the most interesting, strangest movie I've seen ever is opening at the Gateway this week. It's a movie by Harmony Korine, who's the writer of Kids, and Gummo. If you've seen either of those movies, you know he's a little out there. This movie is called Trash Humpers.
Okay.
And it's Harmony Korine's strangest movie. And it's an experience. I'll say that. It's definitely not for everyone.
And so we're not talking PG rated here.
No,
I'm
it's
thinking.
Not PG rated.
Okay.
It's a little.
I didn't get to see that one, but from what I've read, yeah, it sounds interesting.
Okay, and then George, just real quick, 15 seconds. What's your?
I'm still on the Toy Story bandwagon.
Yeah,
I'd see it again today. I mean, I loved it, so that's still my number one for the summer.
Or you could do a double feature of Toy Story and Trash Humpers. It would be an interesting afternoon.
Maybe let's not take the kids to the second part of that. Okay, got it. Well, we're just about running out of time here on All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurovich. I'd like to say thank you to George Wolfe of The Other Paper. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And also thanks to Brad Keefe from Columbus Alive. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Amy.
And I'd also like to say thank you to Emma Fett at the controls. Today is Emma's last day at WOSU. She's been our radio promotions producer, a pledge producer, and a jack of all trades for the past 3 years here. Thank you to Emma on behalf of everyone at WOSU. And this is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.